When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Marvelous Disney with Aaron Adams, the podcast that discusses the most recent doings at one of the more dynamic divisions of the Walt Disney Company, which is, of course, Marvel Entertainment. This is entertainment writer Jim Hill, and my co-host, the amazing Aaron Adams, and I are recording this week's episode on Wednesday, October 4th, 2023. So the spooky season is officially underway, right, Aaron?
Full swing. As soon as October hits, I mean, there's all of the horror movies are playing, I know, on the TV downstairs because my wife absolutely loves the season and all the old classics, the Vincent Prices, the old Universal Monsters. So it is absolutely the season of Halloween.
But you've been actually in knee-deep in Halloween for a couple of weeks now because of your day job putting together commercials, right?
Yeah, I'm like a quasi X-Men in a sort of way where I live about a month in the future from everybody else. So I've been working on, you know, Halloween ads for various people who have like their haunted houses and such. And, you know, you got to advertise that or, you know, have the commercial ready because all of October they want to run that commercial. So I got to, you know, be a step ahead. But by the about a week before Halloween hits, I will transition into Thanksgiving. And then a week before Thanksgiving hits, I'll transition into Christmas. And then a week before Christmas, I'll transition into New Year ads. And then after that, I'm going to take a long break because everybody spent their money on Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas and New Year's. So they really don't have a budget for advertising until you get to about like Valentine's Day. So that's my slow season where I could actually go take a freaking vacation. Oh, hey.
There's an idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Spooky season, trick-or-treat time, folks. And I'm afraid we have a trick for you this week, folks, because episode one of season two of Loki drops on Disney Plus in 24 hours and 54 minutes, 9 p.m. East Coast time tomorrow, Thursday, October 5th. And Aaron and I have not seen this yet. I'm going to say the quiet part out loud here. Perhaps somebody who works in public relations at the Mouse's subscription streaming service could maybe help us out with that.
I was tempted to ask Drew Taylor if he could like send me a code or something to an account because he's seen the first four episodes. And
I told him,
I can't wait to hear your review on Marvelous Disney. Oh, wait a minute. Damn.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I was literally overlooking, you know, the effect of Disney California Adventure, because normally what they do when a new limited series drops on Disney Plus from Marvel Studios, suddenly there's a character walking around inside of Avengers Campus there to hype that. So I was kind of thinking, well, all right, you know, I can find out what Loki's up to in the first episode by seeing what the teenage boy they pay to put on that outfit is walking around wearing. But so far, no dice with that either. So anyway, again, get it, as Aaron just pointed out, Drew got to see the first four. Come on, you know, we'll be good. We won't leak things early.
Yeah, we've never done that before. We definitely don't have a history of ever spoiling anything. Never, never.
You have a point. Okay, anyway, all right, this show goes live Friday, October 6th. It means we're not going to be able to talk about episode one of season two of Loki till next week's edition. But Aaron, you put a positive spin on that, right? That's, you know, we won't, really can't spoil it for people in advance.
But, it gives you a full week. I mean, there's a lot of people, you got a day job, you've got a life, you got kids, you got things to do. You may not be able to watch Loki the very instant it comes out. And we recognize that's just a fact of life. So in this case, I thought, yeah, maybe it's better if we just have that week-long buffer because that gives people a good, you know, week to watch that first episode before we get a chance to put our foot in our mouth and say something that, you know, someone goes, oh, darn it, I would have liked to have seen that firsthand myself. You know, it takes that opportunity for us to take that goof away. So, yeah, the weak buffer zone, I'm totally cool with it. And hopefully the listeners will be right on board with that kind of thought process, I hope.
I like that. That's a positive take on a frustrating situation. But anyway, there's lots of other Marvel-related news this week. And as always, the news portion of Marvelous Disney is brought to you by Touring Plan's own travel agency. And if you're looking for help when it comes to booking your very next trip to Walt Disney World, these obviously very knowledgeable people can help. They'll even toss in a free subscription to Touring Plans with every package you book. So before you book your very next trip to Florida, please check them out at touringplans.com/travel. Okay, Aaron, last month we talked about Werewolf by Night in Color, the reimagined version of that holiday special, which debuted on Disney Plus last year. And Michael Giacchino, who handled the direction as well as the music on Werewolf by Night, he recently did an interview with Marvel.com about how the reimagined version of this holiday special came together. And FYI, the original black and white version of Werewolf by Night debuted on Disney Plus a year ago this week, on October 7th, 2022, to be exact. So how far back did Giacchino begin toying with the idea of hammerizing this project? And as he explained to Marvel.com, we were well into this a year ago, wanting to do this and share this, with the thinking being that wouldn't it be fun to revisit Werewolf by Night, but in the style of the Hammer horror films, which are famous for their saturated colors, bright red blood, as well as their stark lighting. So we started doing some tests and we were like, hey, that's cool. While Michael originally shot this holiday special for Marvel Studios, is that, again, another excerpt from that Marvel.com interview, it's like, when we shot it, I always knew that black and white was the first version we were going to do. But that said, I also kept an eye on what we were doing color-wise, with the hope that if we did do a color version of the same TV special, that could be fun too. And this new take on Werewolf by Night, he thinks, will be a smart, fun way to introduce Disney Plus viewers to other styles of horror films. And again, you know, it's Hammer. Now, as this 50-minute long TV special was drawing to a close, they do that homage to The Wizard of Oz, where, you know, there's the Elsa Bloodstone character. She's in the house, she's defeated all of her enemies, and it makes the turn to color, just like Dorothy coming out of the farmhouse and entering Munchkin Land. And, you know, it's one of these things where it's like, that was a really cool moment out of this TV special that obviously is not going to hit with the same impact when the whole thing is in color. But what Giacchino had to say about this, it's like, after watching this specific scene in Werewolf by Night by color, I still had the same feelings as I had watching the original version of this TV special. I want to point out that this is the film's director saying this, so prejudice, tiny bit, maybe? Anyway, he goes on to say, look, Elsa has still changed the circumstances of her life. A world of possibilities just opened up for her. And it's certainly a different experience than seeing the scene in the original version of Werewolf by Night without the change from black and white to color, but the scene still works. Now we come to the really cool part. We were talking earlier about how Mr. Giacchino had written the score for Werewolf by Night, and Marvel fans in two cities in the U.S. are going to get the chance to experience the music from this TV special live later this month. On Wednesday, October 24th, Sarah Hicks conducts the Minnesota Orchestra, the score for this 50-minute long film, and it's going to play on a screen directly above the stage. But 3 days earlier, and this is the one, Aaron, I'm halfway in the car already driving down to D.C. to do this, but it's on Saturday, October 1st, Michael Giacchino himself takes the stage at the Kennedy Center for a two-part concert. And the first half has him on stage with the NSO, the National Symphony Orchestra. And what they're doing is they are screening clips from classic horror films like Psycho, Phantom of the Opera, The Bride of Frankenstein, with a live orchestra playing the music that's actually written for those films or those scenes from the films live below that. But then Michael will then tell the audience, you know, about, you know, as somebody who's directed it as well, scored, you know, so many films, about why that piece of music works so well, especially in a horror film, you know, why you feel the way you feel. And then second half of the program is a full screening of Werewolf by Night with the NSO conducted by Giacchino himself. And like I said, I might actually need to drive down.
Yeah, that's worth the ticket. That's a thing that is like a once in a lifetimer type of deal. That sounds like a good time. Yeah.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I always love those moments when film professionals literally pop the hood. And you being a sound guy, I mean, I love the notion of it's like, well, actually, it's the violins. You know, that's right. Why you feel the way you do.
And it's like that, it's almost off-key, like, weird comparison, but in the old days, the emergency broadcast system was two tones that were diametrically opposed to one another, and it would just grate on your nerve when you would hear it. And that was simply to catch your attention, make the most god-awful noise we can in the simplest way possible. And those violins that, wheat, 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 it's sends shivers up your spines because it's not pleasant. It's sharp and it's dramatic and it's, you know, repetitive. And there's a lot to how music can inform a scene, and some brilliant uses that I'm sure will be on demonstration. I would love to hear what Giacchino has to say about, you know, each of those bits that they cover. Yeah,
absolutely. A quick side note here. Today was the test of the National Emergency Broadcast System, only messages sent to all of our phones around here in the state. Did that go okay at your end?
Or? I was in the middle of a business meeting when it went off and had to just shut up, get that out of here. Damn you. I'm safe.
Okay, well, no, but it's interesting you say that because here at the house, same thing happened. Only my iPhone goes off and, you know, the beep, 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 you know, does the thing. Yep. There's like a minute lag, and then Nancy's Samsung goes off with the same thing. And then maybe 30 seconds after that, her laptop starts chiming with the same message. And I couldn't help but think that if it had been the tsunami, you know.
So one of us would have survived.
That's it exactly. You know, it's just one of these things. Oh, wait a minute. Who decided that Nancy's going to be washed away?
We need to start testing whose carrier worked the fastest. You know, was it Apple on AT&T that got you the alert quicker? Could I run to high ground in that extra 30 seconds? Probably not. I would rather stroll. But anyway.
There we go. Okay, now getting back to Marvel Horror. Back in early 2020, Scott Derrickson, the director of the original Doctor Strange, opted out of directing the sequel to that October 2016 release. And back then, the word was it was an amicable split, which then, interestingly enough, left the door open for Sam Raimi to come in and direct Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
The blessing in disguise of the event.
Yeah. I came out May of 2022, did very well at the box office, but what actually happened here? And Doctor Strange co-writer C. Robert Cargill, in an interview with Cinema Blend back in May of 2001, actually flat out said, look, parting was indeed amicable, that this was legitimately a case of creative differences, that Scott wanted to make one movie and Marvel wanted to make another. And Derrickson, in a recent appearance on the Playlist Discourse podcast, effectively backed up Cargill. He said, look, we had real creative differences. The movie that I wanted to make and how I wanted to make it was different than the one Marvel wanted me to make. And that is how you wind up making a really bad movie, I think, when the producer of the studio and the filmmaker each want to take a project in a different direction. That's how you wind up with a monstrosity. And very apt choice of words here, because the way it's been explained to me is that the version of the Multiverse of Madness that Derrickson wanted to make, again, his own words here, an extreme departure from the first Doctor Strange movie, and it would have been a genuine horror film of sorts.
Didn't we get that kind of with Raimi? Was he going to push it further? Is that what he's trying to say with that?
Well, I don't know what to say about that. I do have my copy of Multiverse of Madness sitting right here, and the art of, and it's one of these things where it's like, I got to go through this and see what the early art looked like. But anyway, right. back to Mr. Derrickson's decision to walk away, he said, look, I'm still friends with Kevin Feige. I was invited to the premiere. Marvel is really cool, and I'm also friends with Sam Raimi, so there's no bad blood. But the part of the story that fascinates me is Raimi coming through the door and directing Multiverse of Madness, because you and I both know what happened on Spider-Man 3 back in 2006-2007.
Yeah, it was studio interference, but here the difference is the mm-hmm. studio already had their vision in cement. They already had their, you know, disagreement with Derrickson. They said, this is what we want. And at that meeting with Raimi, he's like, okay, I know what your bullseye is. I can either deliver or I have creative differences and I walk. And then he said, I can deliver. And so I think, you know, even though studio interference Spider-Man 3 was a legit thing that really tarnished what could have been a beautiful, beautiful movie there. I think this is entirely different because the studio already had their creative difference with someone else. They had their true north set on their compass, and they said, can you captain the ship? And he went, yeah, I know where north's at. Let's go.
Okay. No, that's an excellent observation. Okay. Worth noting here, by the way, that Sam is considered a very strong candidate to direct Avengers 6, the Secret Wars. And there's also been a lot of talk lately about Destin Daniel Creighton, the gentleman who directed Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, how he's supposedly been tapped to direct the Avengers film that will come before Secret Wars, and that'll be the Kang Dynasty. It was until earlier this week, news began bubbling up that Marvel Studios had supposedly decided to cancel the Kang Dynasty. And
Wait a minute, the whole movie?
Aaron, we're going to talk about this is how this is complete and other nonsense.
Okay.
On the second half of today's show.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's start with the obvious. Writer's strike has been resolved.
Okay.
Deadline reported earlier this week that Marvel Studios has started to set up writer's meetings looking for pitches in regard to the X-Men movie. Now, remember, we don't have a release date for the X-Men movie. And remember that we have Kang Dynasty coming out in May of 2006, followed a year later by Secret Wars, which again, that's May of 2007. So the X-Men movie.
Oh, hold up.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you've just witnessed was an edit. We will now play the klaxon. Okay, there's a spoiler about to happen. Jim, if you'd like, go ahead and repeat that last line, please.
Okay, that supposedly, this is how the X-Men enter the MCU, as part of Secret War.
Okay.
But at the same time, understanding that, you know, we have a multiverse movie. We've already had, you know, Multiverse of Madness, but we also have our Deadpool 3, which is supposed to feature various aspects of the TVA and divergent timelines and the like. So technically considered a multiverse movie. But anyway,
sure.
Getting back to the X-Men movie, again, Marvel just meeting later this fall with potential writing team. So there is, in fact, no real news on this project. And there's a lot of folks who work online, who do stuff similar to what Aaron and I do here, who just can't handle that, who can't handle the absence of news and just accept it. So they use conjecture, they use supposition, you know the phrase, bullshit, to fill for the absence of news. And so we talked, for example, on last week's show about how Jonathan Majors, the next key hearing in his domestic violence case is scheduled for October 25th, which is right in the middle of when season 2 of Loki is airing on Disney Plus. And now, mind you, we know from the tease scene at the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, that Jonathan Majors plays Victor Timely in season 2 of Loki. It's a huge part of that show. It's supposed to directly help set up the storyline for Avengers: The Kang Dynasty. And Disney, given Majors' legal problem, they made the call to not include this actor in the majority of the ads that they did for season 2 of Loki. And that was enough. Just the absence of images of Jonathan Majors was enough to get certain members of the online press spinning a scenario where this version is how Marvel is just going to outright cancel Avengers Kang Dynasty and instead use Deadpool 3 as the lead-in to Avengers Secret Wars. And here's the thing. No one at Marvel Studios has said this.
Right. Yeah, until there's an official announcement saying we've canceled one of the biggest movies that we're ever going to make. First off, if it's an Avengers movie, they're banking on $1 billion. Easy, right? Yep. That's their goal. Anything less than $1 billion on Avengers is a failure in our eyes. Do you really think they're going to cancel their freaking $1 billion Wonka ticket? They would recast, right? If there was that much problem with Jonathan Majors, they would recast, but there's no way they're going to flush that money.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, in fact, Paul Holtz, the author of the New York Times bestseller Unmasked, Crime Scenes, Cold Cases, and My Hunt for the Golden State Killer, is famous for saying that the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. The whole notion of you're not seeing Jonathan Majors in the promotion of Loki season 2 because Disney made that call.
And plus the name of the show is Loki, so it would, you know, help to have Loki in the commercials, right?
There you go. Also, this week, lots of talk about how Wolverine will not be in the X-Men movie, which, again, I want to remind you, they're interviewing the writers. They haven't written yet, so it's not a question.
They have to negotiate a contract with Hugh before they can officially say, oh, by the way, Wolverine's in the next X-Men movie. But really, have we even ever had any X-Men movie that didn't have the dude in it? Like, there was one where he wasn't in it, and then all of a sudden they had young Xavier and Magneto go to recruit him in a bar, and he told him to F off, and that was like his 3-second cameo, but he was still there.
He was.
So,
okay, now, in this scenario, Deadpool 3 sets up Avengers Secret War, which it then allows us to get a new X-Men movie. And I understand this, but Logan, obviously a huge part of Deadpool 3, more to the point, they can't kill him off because evidently one of the conditions of Hugh Jackman taking on this project was that they couldn't impact any of the events that we saw in Logan.
Sure, that makes sense. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's a multiverse. Anything can happen. All right, let's move to the real news here. Did you see that footage from this past weekend's New York Jets Kansas City Chiefs game? It's somewhere in the bowels of MetLife Stadium out there in the Meadowlands.
I was wondering why they were paired together, and it just was like, okay, well, it's famous people bumping into famous people at events, as happens. But then you told me that there's a little extra going on, and I was like, oh my God, tell me more.
What was so funny initially was it's Taylor Swift coming through security in the bowels of MetLife Stadium, and she's with three older white gentlemen, you know, and but everybody's talking about, you know, how, oh, she's there to see her new boyfriend, Travis Kelce. And it was about 5 or 10 minutes after this clip aired, the internet started to lose their mind. It's like, wait a minute, the three older white gentlemen that went with Taylor through the security, that's Hugh Jackman, and that's Ryan Reynolds, and that's Sean Levy, the director of Deadpool 3. There had been a rumor out there earlier about how Taylor had been up for the part of Dazzler.
All right, we got to stop here. I need to do my Super Bowl touchdown dance, because I think it was a year, 2 years ago, I called the fact that Dazzler needs to be in a movie. It needs to be cast by an actual real pop icon. I was thinking it could be like a young Disney starlet that's up and coming, but freaking Taylor Swift is the pinnacle of pop stardom. And if they actually get her to play Dazzler, that is peak chef's kiss perfection, and I applaud them from the highest mountain. Congratulations if that's the case.
Well, I mean, you know, again, we're going with strictly circumstantial
speculation.
Speculation, you know, but it seems kind of intriguing that it's, you know, it's one thing, okay, celebrities hang out with celebrities, but it's like, it's the director. It's the director of Deadpool 3. All right? You know, suddenly that there's a certain credences. And let's also remember that this is not the first time that Marvel Studios has done this in its recent history. A pop star, a superhero. I mean, post-credit scene in The Eternals, November 2021, Eros, played by Harry Styles.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Like, are we actually going to get to see this dude on screen again? I don't think we've got an Eternals 2 in the lineup anytime soon. So that means if he actually comes back, it's got to be by way of Secret Wars and, you know, part of a massive team up where we get, you know, like Shang-Chi is kind of missing in action for a while. There's a lot of good characters that I would like to see more of, but we don't have movies for them yet. I hope they show up in Secret Wars. Hopefully Harry is in that pile as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've talked at length about so many convergence of, you know, things that frankly slowed down, you know, Kevin Feige's plans, whether it's Bob Iger coming back and, you know, him being confronted by the $70 billion in debt, you know, from the Fox acquisition and trying to right the ship with Disney Plus, and Iger flat out saying that I think some of these limited series have dinged the value of Marvel's theatrical releases. And so it's one of these things where, you know, you had a Bob Iger really stomping on the brake, and never mind about what happened with COVID, and never mind what just happened for the past 5 months with the writer's strike and the yet-to-be-resolved actor's strike. So to give you some idea of how screwed up my priorities are, Aaron, at the end of The Eternals, I wasn't particularly excited to see that Harry Styles was showing up. I was more excited about, oh my God, Patton Oswalt is voicing Pip. It's like, oh, you know, that him I want to see on screen. But Harry Styles, not so much. But Dazzler, so Taylor Swift, pop star by day, superhero by night.
Yeah, I mean, it's like so Hannah Montana with Miley Cyrus, where, you know, she's a normal girl and then she puts on the wig and goes on stage and does the thing. But it's like everybody knows Taylor Swift. Around the world, just her name. And, you know, like the concert, how much are you paying for tickets? I know Len made a joke that, you know, his daughter could have made a down payment on the house for the tickets she bought. But I mean, her concert is expensive, but it's going into theaters because people can't afford to go to the concert, so they buy a theater ticket. I mean, that girl is just at the very peak of everything right now in the music industry. So if they got her even for like a 5 minute, you know, scene here and there throughout a hour and a half long movie, that is a super huge catch. They got a whale on the line with that. And God bless them if they could sign her for a multi-picture deal and actually do a Dazzler movie. And she wrote, you know, if she wrote her own music for the Dazzler movie, oh my God, the money. Jim, the money. Like, Disney could probably pay off their whole Fox debt I just agree. On music sales from Taylor Swift.
You are not wrong, but the timing of this. They signed her, they scored her before, as you just mentioned, you know, the concert film that's coming out this fall. And in Hollywood stock, you know, when the amount of money that makes happens, you know, people are going to just be leaping over one another to try to sign her to new things. And the fact that, you know, Marvel Disney seems to have nailed her down.
She did it at a good time, because I hear they're getting really ruthless, where they're actually using an Iyer brand that says property of Marvel, and they just kind of brand your behind, and it's like, we got you, kid. You're ours now for the rest of your life. Dazzler.
All right. And to just for a moment swing back to the Jonathan Majors situation, and I want to share one last bit of info, because again, you know, everyone's, oh, they're going to recast. And it's one of these things where it's like, the friend at the studio is like, okay, do I have to remind you of who starred in the very first MCU film? You know, the guy who went to jail, the guy who all drugged up.
No, the guy who went to jail, past tense, who got his act clean, who spent several years on the straight and narrow, who worked hard to get his act together.
Absolutely.
Right, all right.
But it's you know, one of these things where it's like, we're Marvel. We do things differently here. And it's like, you know, we really like what John, I mean, you know, that was the thing. It's like, wait till you see what he does with Victor Timely. You know, that was the whole thing of, you know, oh my God, you know,
I'm just realizing it's not the Marvel PR team. They've got a new branch, Jim. It's called the Marvel Spin Team. They spin so good, they'll be able to do your laundry as well. Oh, the spin.
All right. Well, okay. And again, nobody's better at spin than Madison Avenue. And if you're a fan of learning about how Madison Avenue works, there's this wonderful podcast called 32nd Street. Are we still plunging ahead with new episodes? Or?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate because Marvel Us Disney listener Kelsey Streeter said, I'm going to vote with my dollar, and she became a new Patreon subscriber. And now I feel obligated because she paid for a month. That means I got to give her at least four new shows.
Okay.
So single-handedly, Marvelous Disney listener Kelsey Streeter, and weird that her name is Streeter. She helped save 32nd Street. So I don't know. It's kismet. We thank her. But yeah, 32nd Street got a few blocks longer. This week we talked to my friend of 30 years, Tim Brando. And part of the conversation, I'm busy with things and only getting busier. So Tim is actually helping take over Aza Prod as I hire staff and employees and take care of lots of things. But Kelsey said, I want more 32nd Street. Don't you go anywhere. And so, yeah, we're going to have to keep going. Sorry, Kelsey. That's what you get for donating your money. You get more content. So thank you. I love you. We appreciate it. We love the show and we want to keep it going.
Cool, cool, cool. Now, as busy as you are you keeping up with your social media stuff? And if so, where can they find you?
I am currently doing the thing on Twitter/X. I would recommend everybody stay away for a couple of weeks because I've been venting and it's not been very cordial nor polite. But if you want to get and dive into the muck, it's at AzaProd, AzaProd. And I'll be happier soon. I've been releasing my demons into the wild.
Okay. All right. Now, I too am still at X or Twitter or whatever we call it, as Jim Hill Media. Likewise over on Instagram. Also on Facebook as Jim Hill Media News. A couple other podcasts that we do here that Aaron actually cleaves the machete on. We have Disney Dish, which I do with Len Testa. We have Fine Tuning, which I do with Drew Taylor. And by the way, Drew has his own outside podcast he does with Charles Hood, Light the Fuse, the official Mission Impossible podcast. And they're getting ready to talk up the Blu-ray DVD version of Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Cool.
And we'll also be recording a brand new Looking at Lucasfilm with Ryan Gahn sometime this weekend. And
how about that finale, baby?
I really enjoyed what they did with Ahsoka.
Yes.
I mean, I have to admit, I'm going to be kind of intrigued to see what gets off the launch pad first at Disney Plus. If we get a season two of Ahsoka, or if Dave Filoni goes into what's been described as his Avengers movie, where it's the cast of The Mandalorian, the cast of The Book of Boba Fett, and the cast of Ahsoka go head-to-head with, you know, a Thrawn.
Well, that means you got to have Ahsoka season two, because she's got to get off of, oh, spoiler, 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 and get to spoiler, spoiler, spoiler before spoiler happens. So spoiler, 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 the movie will happen last. My guess.
All right. Well, anyway, you know, that was very concise.
Thank you.
All right. And then finally, let in my new project. So it is finally headed out the door. Disney Unpacked. And it's our first ever video series. We produced it in collaboration with Jim Shule, a veteran Imagineer, spent 30 plus years working at the company on some of your favorite attractions like Rock and Roller Coaster and Mater's Junkyard Jamboree. But I think this finally goes live this weekend. So, but if you want a taste of it, head over to YouTube. We got some stuff there, and then the fun begins.
I'm going to have to send you, Len, and Jim a cigar and say, congrats, it's a show.
Yeah, that covers it.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, folks, that is going to do it for this week for Marvelous Disney. On behalf of Mr. Adams, thank you for listening, and we will be back soon.